So, TJ, I'm really excited about our guest today.
I am too, and this is just amazing because who would have thought we'd get to talk to somebody that, well, they probably haven't been talked to in a while, a couple thousand years maybe, at least interviewed. I'm sure they've been talked to quite a bit, but when's the last time that she sat down and held a little interview?
Yeah, like this. You mean with Mary Magdalene and together, right?
Well, yeah, that as well. But I'm just saying, when's the last time Mary sat down and did an interview in any kind of media, especially since this form of media hasn't been around, you know, that long? So would have been pretty hard to do. Marconi.
Yeah.
Maybe Marconi would have talked to her at one time.
Well, Flo, I want to thank you for agreeing to be our very special guest and come on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. And I and Mary are very, very honored to be doing this with you guys.
Yes. And, of course, we're extremely honored to have Mary.
Absolutely.
So, yes. And you said you never did this before?
No, I have never been interviewed as an aspect or as a messenger of Mary Magdalene. We've done a lot of different channelings and appearances in England and in the United States and in Hungary, but I've never actually been interviewed and connected to Mary Magdalene at the same time so that she could offer her guidance as we do questions and inquire about what's happening for her and what her promise and purpose is right now. It's very exciting.
Yes, it is. Now, would you mind telling our listeners a little about what you mean about being an aspect of Mary Magdalene?
Well, in 1989, I had an experience that brought me to an understanding that many of the, I'll call them characters, in the 2,000-year story of Christ and Magdalene and Judas and Mother Mary and Joseph of Arimathea, that we were aspects of those particular personalities or energies or characters. And so we had an opportunity to really experience what it was like to be a group soul. And apparently now we're in an individual body and we're individual souls. And that's why many of us long for community. We long to be in states of union together because we remember what it was like to collaborate on those inner planes to create this amazing story of Magdalene and Christ and other stories, I'm sure. That's my primary one that I've been focusing on for a number of years, 25 years or so. So it's about the vibration that we carry that connects us to a different time that then allows us to have information and memory and perhaps also a compulsion or an energy to continue to bring peace to Earth, to continue to work with the origin of light and so forth as Mary talks about it.
So that is... That's very interesting, and I've known you for a long time, and I've read the story, but I'm thinking, too, our listeners, I'm sure they have questions about this, about the story, and about the aspect feast, and how that's playing out, as far as how does that work? Are there more than one aspect? How many? Can you give us a little more on that?
Certainly. Well, in the first chapter of I Remember Union, which is the book I'm referring to, the story of Mary Magdalene, there are these beings that are universal guidance counselors, so to speak, and they're called the ones with no names, and they interview Jesus Christ, Judas Iscariot, and Mary Magdalene in The Swing Between Worlds, which is an interdimensional space that each of us is experiencing before we're actually born in a physical incarnation. If you were thinking about Buddhism, for example, it might be called the Bardo. And what the Nameless Ones tell Christ is that there are 144 aspects of him, 144 aspects of Judas, 144 aspects of Mary Magdalene, and there are 144 aspects of the 1,000 players that were there at that time in our evolution. And if we think about that, that creates 144,000 points of light or aspects of consciousness that are completely tuned to this experience of oneness that is underlying this human free will experiment. So that's an encapsulation of that, and people can read that in the chapter. And I'd be glad to send them that chapter if they'd like to email me.
Beautiful.
If they don't have the book.
Thank you.
Yeah, if they don't have the book and
yeah.
they'd like to read about that,
yeah.
sure, I would be glad to send it to them. Yeah.
That would be lovely.
Yeah.
And I can attest to reading that book. That book became a gauge for me with truth and information. The vibration of it resonated for me so strongly. It was life-changing, very, very life-changing for me to read this book. So I personally highly recommend that everyone get the book because the things in there are just amazing, amazing. The truth is so beautifully written, too. The way they express the truth.
Thank you, Joy. And just in case people are actually listening to this in the month of February of 2015, we're having a 50% off sale on I Remember Unions, and they're autographed personally. So if you'd like to have one, that'd be great.
See, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Man, see, those angels
I'm just
are
full of surprises.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. So, TJ... TJ, do you have a question? I can hear your questions popping up there.
Yeah, I got one right now. You're going to love this one, Flo. Now, if I get the book, does it come with the Mary and Jesus action figures? Do they come with that as well? Is that part of it? No? No?
No, you have to use your imagination.
Okay. My question is, because you started... Go ahead. What were you going to say, Joy?
I said, no, you go ahead.
You started to explain, and I read the book too, and I think it's incredible. But so all this happened 2,000 years ago, and there are 144 aspects, and I'm not guessing that maybe not all of them are here, but a lot of them are back of the 144,000. Why? This is what I always, why is this happening now?
Well, in my experience of Magdalena and this consciousness of oneness that and the light origin that I think she's going to talk about when we interview her, we are at an evolutionary point where there is an internal compulsion to return to light. And not so much as a thought, like I want to be light or to have some kind of belief system around it, but in the, let's just say, the interconnectedness of all of us, there is this opportunity that we have to remember who we are and to work together in a way that doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. And it feels to me like we're just being galvanized now. It's like, well, this is what we've been doing for thousands of years, and now it's time to do this. And I think we see it in all the grassroots movements to open the heart and to connect to each other in cooperation and community and so forth. And then we have the duality, you know, that's also very strong. And I was just working on a book this week with Magdalene, and she's talking about coming to a place of the center where we have these two opposite points. And if we look at any country in the world, we can see that there are challenges where people are believing opposite things. They're on opposite sides of the table, and they have their righteousness and there are this and that, you know. And she said what we all have the opportunity to do is to bring our consciousness to the center of the argument, even if we're really on one side of it, to come to the center and open that space up in ourselves. And then that provides an opportunity for two sides to come together to the center to actually begin to heal or transform or co-create solutions or whatever it might be. And that place in the center is the heart and soul. And we know that we have amazing technology now, and yet it's not technology of the heart yet. And so in order for us to be whole beings, the soul and heart parts of us must be integrated, I believe, must be integrated to a full, let's say, state of balance so that we walk around as full beings, all four levels open, body, emotion, mind, and spirit. So we're working together with ourselves first, and then we can connect and relate with others in a different way.
Thank you.
Beautiful. You know, that answers questions, too, I think a lot of us have. There's so much turmoil in many countries around the world right now, and there's all these different atrocities going on. And I think what you just said is an imperative message on what people need to do during these times and what they can do if they want to move out of that and come to a point of peace and resolution. Thank you for sharing that. That was amazing.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Yeah.
And it came right from Magdalene this week, so we'll see what she has to say about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear that one, too. So do you think maybe we could phone in with her now?
Absolutely.
You know how that phone line works, right?
So I'm just going to take a few breaths and invite her to come with us.
Yeah.
Well, Joy and TJ, I am excited to be here with you in this very voluminous way. As you have said, TJ, it is much bigger than I am accustomed to, and having far reach, which is obviously wonderful. And I'm here to assist the understanding and clarification of many of the principles that have been espoused through different pathways over the generations that in some ways separate people from each other. And we have many spiritual pathways, many ideologies, and many belief systems. And throughout this context of interaction and dogma understanding and clarification of who and what is doing what and what's important and what isn't and so forth, in my opinion, we've lost track of the principal reason for establishing those pathways in the first place. And what I observe on the planet is that there are wonderfully hearted, deeply spiritual people who have a framework for their understanding and belief, and yet they are not yet open to others' pathways, understandings, and beliefs. So it is my intention, by appearing in many different ways with different stories, different characters and different characterizations of myself, that I fit into belief systems of the people so that they actually understand the deeper message, can relax into that message, and then be more open to each other. So some people think that I was having relationship with Christ, that I was his wife. Some people don't. Some people believe we were married at Cana. Some people don't believe that. Some people believe I had children. Some people believe I did not have children. Some people believe that I was in Egypt and I was a priestess and I was indoctrinated into that lineage. And some people don't believe that. So it's very interesting. And the voices that are brought forth and recorded have a texture of the vibration of the Magdalene and a texture most times of whatever it is that that particular response or recording or message is going to be directed toward. So I do my best to offer a kind of non-sectarian, very eclectic, very open space, and believe what you want and end up in your heart and soul. And also know that your origin is light. And part of the message that I really want to bring is about the origin of light. And I've written a book, small ebook, I think you would say, called The Story of Creation, and it's my story of creation. And I had many helpers with this story. And I have dictated it to this one who's speaking. And what is happening in the story is an explanation of source, of how source diversified, of how light bodies came together and unified, which we would call the twin flame energy, and how that energy can then move into different experiences to be communities of light with similar vibrations, sparkles, and so forth. And then how that coming into form more and more over many, many generations, many eons actually, the form took the shape, created the carbon space of in your chemistry, and in the center of each individual is still the light, but it is not visible. So Joy, your work, TJ, your work, and Floa Evia, your work, is to talk about and bring out the light that's not visible. So together we're doing this very wonderful mapping of the universe as light in each of our vocations, avocations, and experiences. And we're having a wonderful time just seeing light in each other, just holding that light and opening onto that light. So that's really one of the major reasons I'm here right now.
First, thank you, Mary, for coming forward and honoring us with your presence and your wisdom and being our doing this interview. I know this is your first in our time, and I also want to thank you for what you just shared about the importance of coming back to light and how imperative that is. I want to check in and see if TJ has some questions, because I know his mind wanders in there too. So,
Well,
TJ.
Thank you. Thank you, Joy. First of all, Mary, I am so happy and so pleased to finally get to talk to you. And thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess there's
you
many...
You are very welcome. You're very welcome.
There's many questions, and I think... And I'm sure many interpretations of, and I'm guessing there's many dimensions that we play out in, right? This story has played out, so a lot of stories could be, there could be a lot of answers to that same story from 2,000 years ago.
Well, absolutely, and the parallel reality experience is something that really affects each individual soul and gives inputs and sometimes dreams, sometimes memories, sometimes interconnecting spaces. And what's important to me is for people to understand that when their light is cultivated, or when their light is even acknowledged, just a little bit of acknowledgement, the light then shines resolution, crystallizes learnings, and brings those deliberately, if you will, you know, kind of what you would say intently, with intention, into the present consciousness, wherever that lives, and marries that with other information and understandings, capabilities, and longings and yearnings in other lifetimes. And as we progress spiritually, those parallel lifetimes merge more and more.
Okay.
So we have, if you think about your past and the things that you learned and what was important, and then all of a sudden that wasn't important, something else was. And then something, it's not that you're a different person, it's that the aspects of you as you mature and develop expand, and as they expand, you have more capacity. Now, you could say, well, that's just learning and growing, a normal human thing. However, many times people will find different abilities and capacities that they have yearned for that just didn't have a timing for them until a certain either understanding happened, or connection with a person happened, or there was some kind of experience that really charged or catalyzed some other understanding or wisdom or knowledge. So it's all blended together, and there isn't time as we know it here on this planet, really. So all of those aspects can always join, and the opportunity is to stay in the heart of the one, to stay in that place of I am light, and light I shall remain, which is also another chapter in the book of I Remember Union. The experience of being born in light, which we're now beginning to offer children much more, understanding what they need, understanding how to cultivate family harmony. These are all aspects that are very important to the premise of oneness, where there's no power struggles between any of the elements in a system, but rather cooperation so that there can be a co-creation, because creation doesn't say, oh, you do it that way, or that's not good. Creation says, oh, you create? Let's go. That's from Sunlight on Water, actually, from the name of Swans.
I also, as you're speaking, what's coming to me is this memory of something called the 12 continuums. And I know with the different aspects that you're talking about, how they each have their own way of viewing truth and their lives, and sometimes they don't always agree with, like, different messages you hear with the different aspects. And the question I have, is this the way the 12 continuums are starting to unify? It's like people who resonate with different aspects sign up there, and then eventually all the aspects unify.
Well, what's interesting about the 12 dimensions is that there are many human beings now incarnated who have the capacity to work with that integration. And mm-hmm. just as your actions affect God or Goddess, mm-hmm. Your actions affect the 12 continuums and vice versa. Everything is an interconnection, right? So what's interesting about the 12 continuums is that as there is more solidification of the vibration of harmony, truth, peace, however we think about those things because they're related, as that unifying happens, it is reflected into the dimensions and they begin to unify. There are people on your planet who actually translate those dimensions, because in some dimensions there is not form in the same way that you would expect it from here, looking at the earth form. Some places there isn't a language that's understandable. So all of these parts of the vibrational matrix of creation are coming to the same level of resolution as human beings and as the earth plane. And as that happens, the container around the earth strengthens. So those of you who are very, very interested in the environment, in stabilizing habitat, for example, for the polar bears or the wolves or whomever, or even the penguins, you know, to have an understanding that what you do in holding a stable environment for the earth, grounding your feet, communicating with her, opening and expanding. We have this beautiful star of recognition, which is an eight-pointed star. You can send the eight-pointed star anywhere in the universe, and it brings the recognition of that oneness. And there are so many tools now that are actually coming together. You know, the ones with no names talk about this time. TJ, another answer to your question, is they call it the coming together of the ages. So, you know, if you go into a bookstore, you're going to have all these quote-unquote new age things happening, and they're supposed to be all new. Well, I discovered this and I discovered that. However, if one looks at the story, you know, history or history of those things, they are very ancient spaces being brought through the consciousness of present individuals here on the planet, who are then describing and providing these tools for individuals so that this can be the coming together of all that is. So, Joy, it's all about, for me, as I see it, all of the vibrations aligning so that there's clarity of intention, mm-hmm. communication, and a resolution of separation, which, of course, is the bottom line for all of us in any dimension that we currently reside in, or an aspect of us currently resides in.
Okay, so it's what you're saying is it provides a means to help people unify, to come together on a larger scale then, right?
Well, a means and also a purpose to do so.
Yes, yes.
Because there's a purpose. Oh,
sure,
it's not just
sure.
about me getting my life together.
No.
It's about me affecting all that is. I'm affecting mm-hmm. everything by
yeah.
what I'm integrating. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So I have this other question. I can't think of anyone I'd rather ask this to. You know, there's a whole lot of information being put out there now and about ETs and galactic energies and all this, and many channels are shifting neighborhoods and doing more of that. And my question is, how does that, in your perception, connect with the divine feminine? How does the divine feminine see this whole piece that seems to be materializing stronger and stronger?
Well, from the lineage of the Great Mother, from the lineage of the Magdalene and Isis and so forth, we see it as collaboration.
So it's not that one has to sign up and totally go one way. You just integrate all these different pieces then. Collaboration,
well,
working together.
The opportunity for each soul is to determine through its vibration what it is most aligned to, respectful of, responsive to, and what actually sustains it. So all the different voices sustain different parts of the universe and represent it, and as we collaborate more and work together more, then we know what each of those aspects would like to have represented so we can support that for them. It's what I was alluding to when we're thinking about individuals working with the 12 dimensions and bringing those dimensions into more of a unified capacity to express and be understood by each other. What actually happens then is that we have an opportunity to illustrate through our connections and through our actions what it is that will bring peace to this planet. Hearing every voice, feeling every heart, what is going to make it possible? And this is what this new book that the one speaking and Miss Jane are working on, and we don't have quite a working title yet, but the idea that I am putting forth is that each individual can make a contribution to world peace, regardless of their situation, whether they're a refugee or their village has been invaded by another culture, or they are in a woman's body and not having the empowerment in certain places of the earth that one might wish for them, or any circumstance, in any circumstance, each individual is designed to be in that circumstance from whatever they are here to bring as a solution to that circumstance. And the exciting thing about it is when everyone understands that they're critically placed in a life or an experience or an unfolding of some kind, and they have a gift to give. And from that gift, and we talk about this a lot in the soul recognition work too, you know, when your soul is aligned with the rest of your being, then you have this opportunity to create an environment all around you that has the same amount of balance as you have inside you. And this invisible light starts to shine, and it shines brighter and brighter, and it gets bigger and bigger. And as it does, then it touches all of these lives around you. And even if you're in a trauma situation or a war situation, what happens inside you is that you hate less, you care more, and you move your awareness to what can I shift, what can I affect, what is it that I'm ready to act with and on and for. And the inside energy, and you both know this from much of the work that you've done, once that's charged, you're on a path and you're going. And everything clears for you to manifest that path. So this ability that we have to be placed in an awareness point to affect reality for peace is across every human being, regardless of the role they're playing, the country they live in, the side they're on, the sex they have, or whatever experience or money or whatever. There are no conditions on this. So it's extremely exciting. And what I feel would be best to communicate to the people of the world at this time.
And what you're saying, this is another piece of information that feels really imperative, looking at what's happening. Sometimes, I know personally, I see things that are that make my soul say, that's enough, that's enough. And I know I'm not alone. I know that what's happening in our world is so opposite to what the vision of peace is. If I know the ones with no names have said it would be as if two worlds are simultaneously existing, and there's the world of love and there's the world of fear. and the voice of fear is speaking so loud right now that these messages you're bringing through, well, it's important to get them out. So how would you propose that people in the Middle East can get a hold of this information? What do we do to make things like that happen for them when people literally can't go in those countries now? Those are the kinds of things that come up. What do we do to help them? How do we do that?
Well, by sharing the vibration first. So the first thing that we would do, and you and TJ and myself and the one speaking in the community of soul support and those who are interconnected with that a community, sending vibrations to these places, these ideas that hold a neutral point, experience yourself as a whole being. And there are techniques and tools for this which are being written into the book so that we can actually first send it through the ethers, you know, like a radio signal. And then we're going to do first an ebook so that it goes out onto the Facebook pages, the things that the world knows. And Facebook is probably, in at least my understanding, perhaps I'm not up to date, but it is my understanding that Facebook reaches the world and that there are many people from many cultures who are on Facebook. So we would do a very strong introductory offer for people to share it with a friend for a dollar or something, just to get it out so that we have this experience. And as I was telling this one speaking and Miss Jane Stewart, who is editing the book and co-writing this book, what's interesting about this particular time is that we do not want to, I do not want to speak only to a community. You say in your culture, sing to the choir, right? So I don't want to talk to communities where the understandings are already there only. I want to speak to the book to speak to everyone who's on the planet so that they go, okay, what's my contribution? What can I do in this situation? If I was born to affect something here for peace, for myself, my family, my world, you know, my culture, my community, what is it? So that everyone starts to ask the question, and then we have some tools to guide them in answering that question and in bringing that forth. And one of the tools is the heart womb exercise, to bring people into the place, that spiral space of the heart where they begin with those they love, and they bring their friends in, then they bring their neighbors in, and then they bring people they don't really like, even of their own culture, and then they start to bring in people that they're afraid of, or they've been angry at, or they fear, or they detest. And we move the vibration of the heart through those until they experience, wow, this is different now. I could smile at that person now, you know. And it's like Rwanda, where they come to the place where forgiveness is a palpable medicine. It's something that actually heals. And that's where we begin to work with those principles and open them out to the world so that they just aren't for spiritual communities. So I am very much strongly recommending simple language and simple principles and believable examples. And one of the examples I used for the ladies writing the book is where there will be two different sides in a war zone, and they will create a night of peace, and they will have dinner together and smoke their cigarettes, and maybe they're lucky enough to have a beer or something like that, and they sit and they just are there together because it's possible. There are these times when people say, enough. Let's have a respite. Let's come together and see what humanity has to offer us. So yeah. It's very important. It's important to know and to cite these examples in the book and to give examples also from personal experiences of how things transform. And Joy, you have so much of that experience. We will be calling on you to also give us some examples and stories because you have been able to look at your life and see what your part in each experience was, what you were there to bring, and how to resolve that in your own heart. And that is the most beautiful medicine and experience human beings can experience, actually can have, because it's such a way of freeing one's own being. And then there's space in there for light, again, to shine out and create different realities.
Mary, I have to tell you, thank you for that. But I also want to say, when you said you want to reach people where the information is new, I feel so passionate about that. I feel so passionate about that because that's the only way it's going to happen. Everyone who already knows has stuff to share, you know? It's the people that are lost that need the hope and need to see and experience their light. And I'm so grateful to hear that is going out in this book, too. And that's your intention.
Well, Joy, mm-hmm. I have an idea that perhaps...
Really?
We have an international call where you interview me, and we have an ongoing interview series about the upcoming book, and perhaps I could lead some exercises and offer some suggestions, and we can do this in a big way if you'd like.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. Love that. Love that. I'm so excited. When can we start?
Well, we have to include TJ, too. I didn't mean to.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was just a TJ.
This wonderful idea of a new way for this information. And really, for me, it is a calling. For this mm-hmm. calling to be shared with humanity feels extremely prescient, you know, very, very, almost like, oh, this is part of the prophecy of a million years of dreaming. Oh, let's talk about it and let's explore it. And let's see how hate can be a catalyst for transformation instead of a way of separating from humanity.
Beautiful. Yeah, I hear everything you're saying, and I'm seeing these calls that are like happening. And TJ, you're there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's wonderful. So then maybe when we're done our interview today, we could all get together and figure out details. Does that sound good?
Absolutely.
Great.
Yes,
how
that
about
would be lovely.
You, Mary,
yes.
And Flo? Yes.
I'm always available.
Yes, you are. You're amazing. One of the things that, Mary, I want to acknowledge is that you bring hope. You bring hope. And without the hope, there would be no movement. And I just want to thank you for doing that. I just don't know where I'd be in my life without you, and I know I'm not alone, and I know there are many others that have helped me, but I never had a chance to thank you for the way you've affected my life and how you've made it possible to have people live your vision, the vision you had 2,000 years ago, and how that's beginning to manifest here now. It wouldn't happen without you, and I really... thank you, and I honor you. So I just had to say that. And I hear TJ's head working again, so I'm going to pass a question over to him here. TJ?
Yep. Well, I guess, you know, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people that listen to this, because we're going to have this posted on two different sites. And I think a lot of people that come to these sites are familiar, at least somewhat familiar on my site, probably very familiar on Joy's site. But can you describe what you, those that didn't read the book, what this is really all about, who Mary Magdalene was and her connection to Jesus and those times? Could you do that briefly?
Certainly. As it states in the first chapter of I Remember Union, there was an interview with the ones with no names. And they are these beings of light that have never been in a physical body, and their intention is to guide us and direct us into a life where we can most profoundly live and share our gifts and the promise of our own soul's development and what you could call perhaps orientation to being, you know, how you come into the world. And in the interview, there was a very white light being, Christ. There was a very dark being, you know, this is just kind of in a connotative kind of way, named Judas. And there was a kind of dark woman named Magdalene. And we didn't have Mother Mary in there, but if we'd had Mother Mary in there, we would have had the two white light people and the two darker human people, you know, looking at the world from a much more practical level, enjoying sexuality, you know, those kinds of things. And, of course, we have this template, you know, of the way Mother Mary is and the way Magdalene is. You know, she's called the Black Madonna, you know, and we have Judas and we have Christ. And so the whole story of I Remember Union and the story of my life and Christ's life and Judas and Mother Mary was really about the roles that people take to learn and grow and to share the understandings with others so that they learn and grow. It's really what it's about. There have been avatars since the beginning of humanity. So avatars are a dime a dozen, really. They're anyone who holds life as sacred, comes into the world in consciousness, and holds light and love as their way of dealing with and working with each and every species they encounter. So this is no different. We were what you could call aspects of consciousness that brought a design of understanding in a story. And that story was very interesting because there's a lot of books you can read that actually describe Christ very differently than the Bible that is so touted and read. And there's many, many different ways of viewing whether he was really a human being or whether he was really an angelic being or maybe he was both, you know. So I'll leave that up to you to decide for yourself. But what we actually bring forth in the story of Christ and Magdalene is the bottom line is the expression of truth through action and through commitment and intention to all that is instead of ourselves primarily. So we're really in the avatar energy of all of the avatars, and we could name many of them. For example, Joan of Arc was an aspect of myself. And there are many, many different aspects. William Marshall, sometimes who is channeled in this community, is an aspect of Christ. So all of these things come all the way through. So it's very important to know that everybody has a role. Everyone's connected. And the story is what was magnified from the Roman Catholic Church. And so, in fact, I have some reputation because of what they left me out of and what they put me in and how they described me. But what did I have seven devils? Well, I had seven chakras, but I didn't have seven devils. And did I wash his feet? Obviously, I washed his feet with my hair. I dried his feet with my hair. I put oil, you know. And yes, I did those things. And yes, I loved him, and he loved me. And at the same time, there were aspects of our experience in my memory where there was a divinity aspect of him being androgynous during those years. Not during his whole incarnation, but during those years. Until the time when he was brought from Israel to France. And then he began a different life, and he was called Joseph. So we have many stories that aren't told and many stories that are told in particularly slanted ways. And there's lots to open to. And each of you, in what you respond to, probably would then be able to say, that's what I think is true. And it's not good or bad, and it's not really right or wrong either. It's your orientation and vibration to what is resonant within you, which means you're learning certain things, you're declaring certain things, you're resolving certain things, and you're intending certain things.
So you said something, Mary, that really got my attention. A lot of things did, but you said something about Christ until he hit France. What was that Can you expand on that a little?
After what is called the crucifixion.
What happened?
Yes. Well, we took Christ to France by boat.
Okay.
And he did not die on the cross. And Joseph of Arimathea made sure of that. That's also in I Remember Union. Yes. And the one speaking, you know, has verified that. She's gone to the tomb of Christ in Srinagar. It's in Kashmir. She also wrote, no, this is all in the book I Remember Union. And she also has had experiences before and after about that are very telling. There are books written in Kashmir in India that describe this Joseph, this prophet Joseph, and there are individuals who understand that he did not die on the cross. So there is a very interesting way to discover what feels in alignment with one's knowing when one reads such a book as I Remember Union, because it shakes up what it is that you were taught, and many individuals have told the one speaking that it feels like the truth to them, and they have been waiting for it. So it's a way of discovering an opening to more and more of your understandings about who are you, really? What do you relate to? What do you have that you experience that draws you to certain things? Why don't you want to believe a certain thing but need to believe another thing? And it's not that any of it's true. It's that it's your experience of finding truth that's important for you.
Yes. Well, I know when I read the book, I had such a strong reaction. I ate it in a day. That's what I did. It was like I ate it. And then for 3 months, I had memory after memory infused in my cells. It was just, I have no question for me, the vibration of what came through. I mean, seriously, it was that profound for me. So it doesn't matter what else I read. I know what my cells tell me from what was triggered. There was a definite response to that book. And it's one of the reasons why I encourage people to read it, because I know if I'm receiving something like that, it's going to affect other people, because we are one, you know, so... And I feel it. I've seen it serve as an opener for countless people to come into acknowledging their divinity and their light and what truth is. So it's an amazing book. And is there
going to be
a movie? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mary.
I just wanted to say to you that this is what the book is for. It's for you. What happened was, you aligned with the vibration or this rhythm in yourself that knew what for you was truth, and then everything you had been conditioned to believe, you are no longer even interested in, because the vibration, that frequency, that rhythm of being so unified became so strong that it affected your reality. That's what all of this is for, really. You see, that's the purpose of the book, yeah?
Yeah, it is. And the other thing is, even all those things, now, I personally was raised Catholic. You know, I'm Irish and Italian. You can't get more Catholic than that kind of background. It doesn't happen, you know? But it's interesting because, even though I am not like going to Catholicism, I'm not involved with Catholicism like I was, and I really wasn't. There was always something in me testing that. But one thing I've learned to appreciate, and I think this is due to everything that I experienced in that book and my personal experiences, I learned to acknowledge the light that's inside of the people, inside of the systems. So it didn't separate me from anyone. What it did was support me with connecting with people in light, and in a whole new way. And I just want to say that to people, because I think sometimes people are afraid they're going to have to give up this or this or this, but it isn't that way. It's like you go into the truth of who you are, and you expand from there, and you're able to connect freely with others. So I just wanted to say that. TJ, do you have a question?
That was well said, Joy. That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
I'm working on it. Thank you.
You did great.
I'm working on it. Yeah, thank you.
Obviously, I could have questions that could go on for years, and I know time does not exist,
I know,
so I might as well start asking, right? But I'm kidding. The show can't go on for years. But I wanted to ask your connection to Jesus, and you talked about the twin flame, and is that, I've asked this before, but is that like this, the splitting of a soul, the feminine, the masculine, and then the coming back together, is that what when you make a reference to twin flame?
Well, the reference that I made to twin flame was from the story of creation that I wrote, which is basically how to explain how two points of light could feel identical and yet separate. And in the book it says, and the two became one, and the one became two, and the two became one. So it is the first experience that we have as an energetic, if you think of the evolution of humanity, it was the first experience of having two separate points of light feel as if there was no difference. And that is what individuals who are in the throes of love and looking for union and connection and alignment and remembering that it's inside us and not knowing quite how to manifest it. This is where this interest perhaps or memory or inclination comes from to unify. And one can unify sexually, one can also unify across the globe from each other. There's no distance or space. So it is about the memory of how our union can be lived now that makes it so important and compelling to humanity.
And your connection to Jesus in that respect, obviously one, two combining into one, right?
Well, we actually had a very interesting relationship because we knew each other immediately, and I know you have had that experience, and so has Joy and many others listening. And when you know someone immediately and you don't know how and you've never met them before, and there's something that happens inside, many times there's a feeling that you know that there's a purpose to your meeting again. And so constantly there was this knowing between Magdalene and Christ that there was something we were here to do. And I had certain vision, he had certain vision, I had certain shortfalls, he had certain shortfalls, and so we collaborated with each other on an ongoing basis to fill in the blanks. So the union that we experienced most of our time together was in discernment about what those steps should be and collaborating energetically with each other to support each other in a world that was fraught with, let's just call it, conflict and separation. And even in our family systems, the masculine and the feminine were not at unified points of understanding for much of our life. So we were coming together many times because we needed each other for solace. We needed to talk to each other and understand each other. And I had this vision. I could go to the records and tell him what was happening. And he had this heart that had the whole world in it all the time. Never without the whole world in it. So I could tell him about direction, and he could teach me to open my heart more. Because I was afraid of judgment. In fact, I still am a little bit afraid of judgment and of being, you know, moved outside of, what I could say would be acceptance in my beingness. Mm-hmm. And so he gave me so much tenderness with mm-hmm. that, and understood that about me. And we made love many times in the energy of union without the physical experience because we could. Mm-hmm. And there were times when I showed him how that worked, and yet there was not a real, what you could call, how could I say this delicately? there was not what one could consider normal sexual relations, because that wasn't what our agreement was at that time in my experience.
I think you said that beautifully, Mary.
Thank
you're very
you,
Mary. Eloquent. Yes. So do you know that we're receiving you, like, with open hearts and no judgment? And will you keep coming forward?
Absolutely, I'll come forward. Thank you for the encouragement.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. I just, I have a question now, okay, because I know we're going to have to close soon. I can't believe it already. But is there a specific thing you'd like to say to our listeners about anything that you're feeling called to give them as a message for today?
Well, what I would like to offer is I'm going to do this message on Valentine's Day about the pathway of the heart. And as I just shared with you, Christ was one who taught me a lot about that. And I would like to show people how to come to that altar of truth within themselves. And whether they can be on a call or whether this is distributed in time, there's still going to be recordings of it that are available. And it is a pathway that I'm going to align for the planet. And I'd like people to come and join me in that, and then we can use that as a pathway for the rest of our incarnative experience.
Well, that's beautiful. And thank you, Mary, for doing that and for all your service and for your open heart and your vision. Thank you for coming on the show today. And I just want to tell our listeners, too, that I know Flo does readings, and I believe, Mary, do you come through in readings for people?
Yes, of course we do.
Yes, just checking. Okay, so I want to let people know that Flo does readings, too, along with all this global work that she does, and you can access her information by going to her website, soulsofreportsystems.org, is it? Right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a link on our website, so I just want to tell you where you can find that connection to. TJ, is there anything you want to ask Flo or
I just had this idea hit me, and I don't know if this is even possible, but I thought if we do this again, it would be cool to have Jesus and Mary both on at the same time. What is that something we could do or want to do?
Well, I think he's referring to the fact that I channeled Jesus at Christmas, Mary. So, I mean, I'm game if you are.
Absolutely. Certainly. It would be a quite an experience.
Yes, wow. And it would be a grand honor to be together in this way. I'm excited. My cells are dancing already. What fun. So I have to say the two of you has really got me rocking here. We're doing international and we're doing a duet. So how exciting. And again, though, TJ, is there anything you want to add?
I just want to thank Mary. And It was really, I really enjoyed listening to what you had to say. And I look forward to having more connections with you as well.
Thank you, TJ, and I would just like to thank you for your openness, TJ, and Joy, I would just like to honor your courage, and I would like you to receive that from me in a very deep way, because I mean it that way for you. You have such courage, and I so admire
you,
it.
I, and you too, TJ, the two of you are imprinted in my heart, and Flo, I know you're in there, too, so I want to tell you I love you, too.
I love you, too, Joy, and I'm really amazed at this, and very, my heart is open, and feel so blessed to know both of you and to have this opportunity. Thank you so much.
And thank you, and thank you both for coming on the show, and I hope you'll both come back again, even as a solo team, Okay. Will you do that, you think? Yeah?
Anything you want.
Okay.
Anything you want.
Oh, it's like Christmas. Thank you. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in and hearing this very special show, and wish each of you a happy Hearts Day. And if you get a chance, don't be afraid. Tune in to the calls with Flo for Valentine's Day and come on board. I mean, the work that's being done is amazing. It's very life-changing and very honoring, and it'll support your expansion and assist you with landing fully present in your own light and living the joy of your mission here, too. I want to thank you all for that. And thank you again, Brother TJ. Bless you. And
bless you as well.
Talk soon.
Thank you.